Barry Lopez has written extensively about the relationship of indigenous people to the land, a subject for which the people of Hawaii will provide a ready audience. He's speaking tomorrow evening at UH Manoa about sacred ground and reconciliation, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning, Barry. Thanks
for
coming in.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Obviously, there are many, many parallels to the different places you visited in terms of how people have created a culture based on the environment they live in, right?
Right.
And in Hawaii, since that has mostly occurred in isolation, that's especially clear, wouldn't you say?
I would say, but my caution about all of this to myself when I write about a place is don't get it in your head that everything is the same all around the world.
No.
The relationship to place is inflected differently mm-hmm. by every culture. So somebody like me who sojourns in different places, the first thing I look for is where is my foundation? What are the things that are generally true in most cultures? And then take as close a look as I can
sure.
with all of my cultural blind spots at what people do here that is a new representation of compassion or a new representation, in the sense that it's not known to me,
mm-hmm.
Of love. I can't recall in any place that I've been that there's any discussion around what here is aloha. This is a fabulous idea of shared breath that includes non-humans and the land that as soon as I began to understand the depth of that word, I began to understand a part of the magnificence of life in Hawaii. And I feel moved to want to tell other people about this is how Hawaiians do it.
Because in a number of ways, Hawaii is clearly distinctive. It's the most isolated place on Earth, for example. Geographical isolation, confluence of so many cultures here. It can't be that similar to other places, can it?
No, but we become self-satisfied, not to correct you, but Hawaii's got all of these jets and ships coming in every day. So
yeah.
It is isolated geographically, but so much of what passes for information that we need comes to us electronically. So it's not as out there, if you will, as some places I've been and actually have grown to prefer.
Yeah.
I've worked on, I think I can't ever keep track of it, but I think on three separate occasions worked in the interior of Antarctica, and it was one-way radio communication. We
sure.
were on once every 24 hours, and we knew that if something happened in the world that affected us, the death of a child or something like that, we wouldn't know about that until they came to get us at the end of our 45-day field experience.
Yeah.
And I think there are advantages to isolation. One of which, how many people can you meet walking down the street in Honolulu who, if you gave them the gift of not being disturbed, would be forever grateful? You cannot move in American culture without being badgered by advertising and people who have something to sell you or people who are, because it's a consumer society, they have no choice about having a job or not having a job.
Yeah.
And because they have a job, they have to make something to sell, even if it's garbage. And so they've got to make a way of selling you something, some gimmick. So they're in your ear all of the time. And when I would be in the field in either in the high Arctic or in the middle of the Tanami Desert or in Antarctica, which has been my great privilege
yeah.
as a writer to
sure.
be able to go to those places. We weren't in contact with anybody but the land. We weren't in contact with anybody but ourselves. And in those times, issues of race, of cultural difference, absolutely disappear. They're of no practical use.
That which is probably as close as you could get to the experience of pre-contact Hawaii. And when I was thought about what you were saying about aloha and the whole notion of love tied to breath, tied to the environment, tied to life itself, those notions were formed in an isolated pre-contact environment, which really wasn't that long ago.
No, of
course. Mere hundreds of years.
Yeah, till Mr. Cook came.
Yeah, and but that those ideas were fully formed upon his arrival, and they had been created in isolation from the rest of the
right.
world.
An interesting question to me with indigenous people is, how have you made it this far from the period of contact? So if you take an idea like aloha, first of all, it's cultural, so it's time tied, and that means that here's how it looks to us today, and tomorrow it'll be a little bit different. So, you know, Hawaii is not a place of being, it's a place of becoming. Mm-hmm. Everything is evolving. And the miracle to me, I don't know that much about Hawaiian indigenous culture, but Native American cultures of various sorts, Pueblo cultures in the Southwest, or Sundance cultures on the Northern Plains, wherever you go, you find these magnificent ideas that are still in process. Mm-hmm. And they have – people have kept them alive. The elders have kept these ideas alive through hundreds of years of persecution. You just take a step back and say, well, that must be a pretty good idea. So a question for me is, how do you go into a reservation in the mainland, 80% unemployment, drug and alcohol addiction problems, endless right. nightmare, they're still here. And senior people – are still advising people, even if nobody is listening to them from time to time, about what it means to be human and to conduct yourself in a just and loving way. So my kind of mantra for myself when I'm with traditional cultures is to tell myself, listen up, you can never be like the people you are traveling with. But they carry something that they have taken care of through all kinds of hell and high water. And those are the ideas that make human beings, that give human beings their dignity.
Isn't that a sign of hope for future hell and high water?
And speaking of which, where are we now?
Well, somewhere at the confluence of hell and high water.
Right. Yes, it is. You know, I reflect on this because after the election, so many Native people I talked to said, oh, well, welcome to where we've always lived.
Yeah, yeah.
With repressive authoritarian kind of soi-disant people who are taking away they're like a parasite on the core of what it means to be a good woman or a good man.
Well, let's hope that there's some power in the whole. Let's hope that there's some power to being a good woman and a good man.
Oh, of course there is. And what we have to do now, of course, is encourage each other. I often think of this example from crane people, cranes flying, migrating. They don't draft behind each other like geese do. They fly in a straight line, more or less, strung out a mile and a half. And what they're looking for is a thermal, because they reach altitude and then they slowly start to sink as they're migrating in one direction. So you're looking left and you're looking right, you're looking left, you're looking right, and then one bird will start to rise. And everybody goes there, rises on the thermal, and spreads out again. The lesson there is, it is everybody. It's not just one person.
Good lesson, Barry. Thanks very much for coming in.
I'm delighted.
Pleasure to talk with you.
See you tomorrow night.
All right. Author Barry Lopez will be the host of a reading and informal talk tomorrow evening at the UH Manoa Art Auditorium. And you can find out more about that on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.